The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's July 20th. The effort seems to be slowing faster than the run. I'm Molly Dishner. Tonight, more on the struggling start in Togiak, plus an update on the counting towers. And we hear from someone measuring her Bristol Bay summer in fathoms rather than fish. The marine weather forecast. Bristol Bay tonight, southeast wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet, and some rain. Tomorrow, southwest wind at 15 knots. And tomorrow night, southwest wind at 10 knots. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, there's a small craft advisory tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight, it's expected to have some south wind 25 knots, seas at 6 feet. Tomorrow, southwest wind at 15 knots, seas at 5 feet. And tomorrow night, southwest wind at 10 knots, becoming west 25 knots after midnight. Now to those numbers. Yesterday's Bristol Bay wide catch was about a million fish, bringing the season total to about 32 million. The total run is now estimated at 47 million sockeye. Igigik fishermen caught 264,000 fish yesterday, season total 7.7 million. Ugashik fishermen 188,000, season total of almost 5 million. Naknak Kwejak 535,000 caught yesterday, season total almost 15 million. And Nushigak 108,000 fish caught yesterday, season total about 5.1 million. As for the sockeye per drift delivery yesterday, Ugashik 1,009 fish, Igigik 929, Naknak Kwejak 665, and Nushigak 422. Now let's look at the escapements. Yesterday's Igigik escapement was 162,000 fish, season total 1.8 million. Ugashik escapement was 85,000, season total of just about a million fish. Naknak 47,000, season total 1.8 million. Kwejak 680,000, season total about 6.5 million. The Wood River count yesterday was 71,472 fish, season total 1.8 million. The Agushik River was 83,000, season total 458,000. Counts are over on the Nushigak, and at Togiak, 5,200 fish counted yesterday, season total 33,500. Those are the numbers. If you have fish news, tips, ideas, or feedback, send it to me at fish@kdlg.org or call us here at the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
This afternoon, I spoke with economist Gunnar Knapp, who follows Alaska's products in the seafood market from his post at the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska Anchorage. There's a lot of uncertainty in the sockeye market right now, in large part due to the unusual run size and timing in Bristol Bay. Earlier today, I asked Knapp for his perspective on these markets. Knapp says the Bristol Bay harvest typically plays a large role in determining how much fish is on the market and where prices end up.
Certainly there are plenty of instances in the past that I and people in the industry can certainly recall where you've seen prices go up as a result of a shortfall or go down as a result of a larger than expected harvest. But this year is pretty unusual because at the beginning of the season, or really past the midpoint, it certainly looked like we were heading towards a substantially smaller harvest than had been projected. And that was the kind of situation that can make buyers nervous and eventually get them to start bidding up prices. But then the run started coming on strong, I think way later than anybody would have expected, and churning out these big harvest numbers day after day. And now it looks like rather than a shortfall, we may get a darn big harvest after all. And so my guess is, and I have to emphasize this is only a guess because I'm not actually in the market, you know, sort of trying to buy or sell Bristol Bay sockeye. My guess is that we've seen two reversals of market expectation. First, people thinking, oh my God, it looks short, and more recently, oh my God, maybe it doesn't look short, maybe it looks big, and that this has created a lot of market turmoil and uncertainty. I don't know what the what wholesale price deals are being made, if any, at this point, but I'm guessing, just based on past experience, that there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of nervousness, bargaining, people trying to sort of figure out what is the right price they should be paying to not be caught, paying too much or too little as the market goes forward.
Knapp says this is all happening at a time when there is already a weak sockeye market to start the season.
It's interesting times, but it's also confusing times, and it's particularly hard for anybody such as myself who, you know, sits in a university or just somewhere else not trying to buy and sell fish. It's hard to know exactly what's going on, and we don't really get the data to tell you what happened until months after the season, when you begin to get firm data and sort of discover what actually was produced and where the products went and what prices they sold for. And then you begin to see a story that usually makes sense in hindsight, even though if people couldn't predict how it would play out in advance.
Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
The Togiak Commercial Fishing District is smaller than Bristol Bay's other four. It's also usually the latest to get going. This year's run was the smallest forecast in more than a decade, and so far it's achingly slow to show up. Now Fish and Game is cutting back on the fishing time normally allowed to try and build some escapement. Matt Jones is the area management biologist.
You know, we've been restricting fishing the last 2 weeks of their regular weekly schedule as well, and it's something that was deemed to be critical to meeting our escapement goal.
Jones says the escapement count so far is about half of what's expected at this point in the season. Catches have also been weak.
You know, it really hasn't picked up. It's been far below where we'd expect the abundance to be a couple weeks ago, and even this past week was just dismal in terms of catches per delivery.
Until July 27th, fishing in the Togiak District is limited to fishermen who haven't fished in any other district in Bristol Bay this summer. Jones says some Togiak fishermen want to extend that deadline in case the fish make a late push and other fishermen want to follow them west.
We do not have the authority, as it stands now, to be able to extend that exclusive provision. That's something the Board of Fisheries would have to allow to happen.
As of about 4:30 this afternoon, no requests had been filed with the board. Jones counts himself among the many hoping to see Togiak's run pick up some speed soon. Elsewhere in the bay, escapements have been strong. Let me list the rivers currently at the upper end of their goal. Igigik, Naknek, Quidjack, Wood, Nooshigak. The Agushik has already passed its upper end. Fish and Game would like to start ending some of the counting projects around the bay, but the department also wants a clear picture of just how many salmon made it upriver on this unusual run. On the east side, Ugashik and Igigik area manager Paul Solomon says the tower removal dates are still being evaluated. For the west side, Nooshigak Area Management Biologist Tim Sands says the Wood River Tower will continue counting for at least a couple more days.
At this point, we're trying to get to the 3 days of 1% count or less. So I just talked to him actually at 10 o'clock. Their number was 33,000. We'd want to see 3 days at 18,000 or less, and don't know exactly when that's going to happen. I would think it's got to go at least till the 25th, 26th, somewhere in there, maybe a little bit later.
Sands says the Wood River Tower won't operate past the end of July because there isn't funding for August. The Agushik Tower will come out July 23rd, and the Nooshigak sonar is already done counting. Back in a moment. This summer, we've tried to bring you a variety of voices from the fishery. Yesterday in Naknek, I spoke with a different side of the fishing world who told me that her season total is in the thousands, but not of fish.
Thousands of fathoms.
That's Kayla Stotts, a first-time net hanger at What's It To Ya, a net store in Naknek. Her first day was May 21st.
I feel like just being in the shop, I've learned a lot about the fishery that I wouldn't have known beforehand. I have family that fishes in this area, and there's still just so much that you hear from people who pass by that you wouldn't know regularly.
Stotts says she decided to try hanging nets because she wanted to be around the fishery but didn't want to spend a third summer on the processing side of things. Stotts says the shop is often filled with visitors, and she's enjoyed talking to fishermen when they come in. But her favorite visitors were her family.
I saw both my brother-in-law and my brother and my little nephew, who is 14 and had his first summer on the fishing boat. That was really cool to see. He was surprised by the work, but he did a great job, I hear. So, yeah, no, I get to see them, and they got to come into the shop and spend some time with me, and it was like the highlight of my summer, probably.
When the fishery wraps up, Stotts says she's headed back to Palmer to spend more time with family, and then she's off to Missoula, Montana to finish college. Next summer, she's not sure if she'll be back to hanging nets, but the possibility is open. Notice to mariners heading back up the Quijack River as this season ends. Monty Worthington of Ocean Renewable Power Company Alaska says there's a RivGen turbine back in the water near Igiagig to steer clear of.
ORPC Alaska, in collaboration with the village of Igiagig, has installed a hydrokinetic turbine. It's called the RivGen power system in the upper Quijack River. This device generates electricity from the river's current, and it is submerged in a river marked with some buoys here. And we wanted to be sure that people heading upriver on the Quijack knew it was there and they could avoid it by going around the buoys on either side of them.
Worthington says there's plenty of clearance in the river to avoid the clearly marked device.
There is a set of buoys marking the outsides of the turbine, and you can pass it on either the west side or the east side of the river here between Fishing Game and Fly Islands, is where it's located, about a half mile downstream from the village of Igiagig. Right now, there is a red barge with an excavator on it on the west side of the river, so it's a bit more constricted here, but the plan is to move that in the next couple of days. But that's another obvious marking. When you come close to that barge, you'll see the buoys offshore of it, and you'd probably be best to pass on the east side of it at this point in time.
He says there's about 4 feet of clearance over most of the device, but in one spot there's only about 2 feet of clearance. Again, the RivGen turbine is back in the upper Quijack River, about a half mile down from the mouth. It's located near the west bank in between Fishing Game and Fly Islands and is marked with a series of orange buoys. This is the second test year for the device, which may be developed commercially to provide near year-round power for Igiagig. In other fisheries news, the Fraser River has been relatively quiet this summer, with the midpoint of the return forecast at about 7 million fish. Managers say discharge is 30% low for this date, and the temperature is 3.5 degrees higher. Southeast Alaska trollers are done catching kings. Fish and Game announced Friday that there won't be a second king opening this summer, only the third time in 15 years there hasn't been an August opener. Finally, you probably recall the fishing vessel Arctic Rose that sank in the Bering Sea in 2001. In a Seattle Times article this weekend, the claim is made that a punctured hole is the cause of the mysterious sinking. A former NTSB investigator tells The Times that video taken from the site of the wreck clearly shows a gash in the hole he believes was caused by fishing equipment. The investigator believes water rushing in from that hole would have shorted out electronics in the battery room, which explains why no radio distress call was ever made. The Coast Guard says it stands by its investigation and says the Arctic Rose likely sank as a result of flooding through an open hatch door. That's it for today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. I'll leave you with a song by the Mushroom Cowboys called The Tall Grass, as performed at Fisherman's this weekend. I'm Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produces the show. Good night.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.